Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. And the church calendar is a special day. It is Trinity Sunday. It's good to have you here as we gather together. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in Judson Chapel, the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And do want to point out also that underneath the schedule is the announcement about Layperson of the Year tickets for lunch on June 5th. We'll be recognizing Peggy Blum that day with a catered meal. Tickets are available today and next Sunday during coffee hour or through the church office this week. So they're $8 for adults and $4 for children under 10. Paul Patry will have the tickets and will be selling the tickets after church today. So please look for Paul during coffee hour if you'd like to purchase one today. Also, we are continuing to receive our One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which is one of our four annual mission offerings. And there is an insert on white paper in the bulletin today, and as well, we'll be hearing more about that in our Moments for Mission a little later in the service. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. You may note we'll be singing words from a hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us read responsively. Let all things their Creator bless.
And worship Him in common.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son.
And praise the Spirit, three in one.
Our opening hymn is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 2 in the blue hymnal. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray together. Father of glory and architect of creation, Blessed be your holy name. Son of God and Son of Man, Lord Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, Comforter and Counselor, we revel in your presence. Surround us now, Holy Three, as we worship. Draw us together and receive our worship this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. We'll now have a live presentation for our Moments with Permission.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land.
Famine, hunger, desolation.
And a man from Judah went to live in Moab, he, his wife, and two sons.
A stranger in a strange land, trying to do what's best for his family.
The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi.
Naomi. Meaning pleasantness.
But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. He was left with the two sons.
Naomi.
Pleasantness. A widow.
Naomi, a stranger in a strange land, now without her partner, still trying to do what's best for her family.
Naomi's sons married Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah.
Orpah, meaning neck or even, to turn the neck.
The other was named Ruth.
Ruth, meaning companion, friend.
When they had lived in Moab 10 years, both Naomi's sons died. So she was left without her two sons and her husband.
Stranger in a strange land, a woman powerless, hungry, and alone, desperate to do what's best for her family.
So she started to return to Judah with her daughters-in-law because she heard that the Lord had given food to his people in Judah. But Naomi said to her new daughters-in-law,
Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May God deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with your dead husbands and with me. God grant you security, each of you in the house of the new husbands.
Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and they said to her,
No,
we will return with you to your people.
But Naomi said,
Turn back, my daughters, why will you go with me? Turn back, my daughters, go your way. For I am told to have a husband and bear more sons to grow up for you to marry. No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me.
Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left.
Orpah turned her neck and left.
But Ruth clung to her, so Naomi said,
See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.
But Ruth said,
Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people and your God my God.
When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, said no more, and the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem.
They walked together,
bearing each other's burdens,
spurring each other on,
lifting each other up.
Together,
together.
They walked the miles,
facing the unknown,
full of love for the other.
When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred and said,
Is this Naomi?
She said to them,
call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara.
Mara, meaning bitter.
Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty.
So Naomi returned to Judah, together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back from her country of Moab. They arrived at the beginning of the barley harvest.
Naomi,
no longer a stranger, no longer hungry,
did what was best for her family.
And Ruth,
walked every mile by her side.
This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
We often think of the One Great Hour Sharing Offering as being a disaster relief agency or funding that, and that's part of it. But the offering also goes to teaching people how to grow crops so that they can sustain themselves. And also it is about refugee resettlement as well, and reaching out. And that's part of what the bulletin insert is about today. It's about refugees and how One Great Hour Sharing funds are used that way through Church World Service. And, you know, we say, well, refugees are a real big issue today. Well, it's not a new issue, as we can see from the Old Testament with the story of Ruth and Naomi, that there have been refugees probably for as long as time as there have been people here on earth. And so it's not something new. It's how we respond to those. And one of those ways is through our One Great Hour Sharing offering. So I encourage you to read the literature, pray about it, and consider giving a gift to the offering this month. And if there are children who'd like to come down front, I invite you to do that now. If not, if you want to go to your class, you may do that as well. And I know we're having a conversation as to whether we're going or not. Oh, no, that's okay. That's all right. So do you want to come down front or do you want to just go to your class? Thanks, Naomi, for coming down. Debbie? Good morning. Were you born in the United States? Okay. Were your parents born in the United States? Okay, your parents weren't. Your parents, so you're a first generation born in America. That's very special. And I'm guessing that your parents may not have come as refugees, because a refugee is someone who is looking for safety in another country because their home country is not safe. And we have refugees here. We also have immigrants, that people come here because they feel life is better here, but they're not in danger at home. And there is a difference between immigrants and refugees. And our congregation reaches out in many different ways. One of the ways is through Refugee Immigration Ministry, and that's a ministry that's based here in Malden and that our congregation is part of, and our organist, Ms. Glover, participated in a fundraiser yesterday that she walked around the lake in Wakefield raising money, and some of us, you know, made contributions towards that to help those folks who are coming to the United States because it's dangerous in their homeland. They're seeking what's called like asylum here. They're seeking a safe place to live. And you know, I talked about our One Great Hour of Sharing offering. Another way American Baptists are helping to resettle people, not necessarily in the United States, but around the world. We've seen a lot of people coming out of Greece and looking for safe places to live. And we saw some nations last year that opened their doors, and then they said, oh, wait, we got too many people coming. You know, we can't have this many people. But that's what we're talking about, and you know, that God wants us to be open to other people. And you know, we learn from each other. Some cultures are different. I bet your mom and dad may speak a different language at home at times, or you know, some of our other families that English is not their first language. And I bet sometimes the students that are going to school are helping their parents learn English, the new language in their new country. And so that's so important. And how many new things that we learn about the world by having friends who have come from other places or whose parents have come from other places. And we are so much richer and much broader in our understanding. America was once called a melting pot. That, you know, that all these different people from all over the world came here and we just sort of blended together. And I see that happening again, or even more so today. And I know there are, I don't know what how many languages now in the high school that are spoken at home. It was 60, 70, maybe even 80 different languages that are spoken at home by Malden High School students. So we see how cosmopolitan Malden has become. I hear people continuing to tell me, oh, Malden has changed so much. And I just saw someone this week that grew up in Malden and isn't living here right now, but was saying, you know, how much Malden's changed. Not in a negative term, but just how much changes have taken place in the city of Malden just in that person's lifetime. And I bet you may notice changes, too, in the coming years as well. But all of these things are because of, you know, being open to people of different beliefs, different cultures coming, and we being accepting of them and helping them. Let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, we know that you cared for all people, those who were good and those who were not so good, those who made mistakes and those who tried very hard to follow God. But Lord, we thank you that so many people want to come to the United States, and at times we say, you know, we're bursting at the seams, that we have too many people here. Lord, we help us to make wise decisions of, you know, our government, to make wise decisions of how to help those who are in need. Lord, we pray for those who are benefiting from our One Great Hour sharing offering, those who also are benefiting from the Refugee Immigration Ministry that's much more local here in Malden. Lord, we just thank you for all of those people that have come here from different cultures. We pray that they too may learn language, that we may come to know them better, that we may see them as a value that you have for them. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go to your class. This morning we have an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another before we go into prayer. And we want to keep Betty Hickey in prayer. Betty was hospitalized last weekend. She is home now, recovering from pneumonia, just trying to do some resting and just trying to get her strength back. We want to keep her in prayer. We want to keep Claire Stevens in prayer. Claire had surgery this week. Spoke with her on Thursday, and she's doing well, is at home. Doing fine. It was a day surgery, a long day, but a day surgery. So Claire's doing okay in Florida. I heard from May Upperman this week as well, and May wants to be remembered to the church family, is very grateful for all of our prayers and visits and calls and cards. May continues in therapy, trying to learn how to swallow in a different way so that she will be able to eat more and drink more. So we want to continue to keep May in our prayers. Also, Genevieve Vilcapoma, Naomi's mom, is hospitalized or home now, but she's home now, but was hospitalized this week, and want to keep her in prayer as well. That she has a condition now that they've diagnosed that is lifelong, and she just needs to monitor that. In addition, young Todd Freeman's mom, Kim, has been battling cancer for quite a long time. And the cancer has spread extensively into her brain to the point where there's no feasible treatment anymore. So she is at her father's in Everett under hospice care. And the nurses don't give a long time for her life here. So we want to keep young Todd and the extended family in prayer at this time for Kim. And we also want to remember the family, the wife of Roberta Markham, of the wife of Reverend Robert Markham, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Rockport from 1973 to 2006. And he also has been battling disease for many years. And he passed away on Friday. So while sadness, but also relief that he has been released from his illness. So in some sadness today, we also want to remember those who lost their lives in the airplane crash on the way to Egypt. So we also want to keep them in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning, either celebrations or concerns? Eleanor. He continues to be in the hospital. Eleanor's nephew had bladder cancer, I believe, and it was, you know, and he had reconstructive surgery and continues to be in the hospital and will be for a while as he, you know, recuperates from it. Yeah, it's a long recuperation. Lisa? Right. Yeah, we want to keep Jim Jacobson in prayer. I forgot to get him on my list. I'm sorry. So, yes, he's having a cardiac catheterization tomorrow, looking for blockages, and hopefully if there is, that they can be taken care of during the catheterization. If not, you know, go with the next step. But want to keep Jim Jacobson in prayer today as well. Any other requests? Marilyn?
98.
That's too bad. On Tuesday when we were talking about it, they diagnosed something else that we thought, oh, that's easily solved with an antibiotic. But unfortunately, you know, that led to something else and discovering of more cancer. So Marilyn's 98-year-old neighbor will not be going home. We'll be going to hospice, and that's, we want to keep her in prayer today. Difficult news. Very difficult news. Anyone else? Peggy, I'm sorry, you got to wave it. Okay, two friends of Peggy's, Lucille and Marie, who have health issues and would like our prayers, so we will keep them in our prayers as well. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something else that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are all-knowing, all-loving, and ever-present. We came and come to worship you this day. We thank you for the privilege that you are such a personal God, that you allow these intimate conversations we have with you. Our faith tells us that you receive our prayers and that you answer our prayers, not necessarily the way that we want them answered, but what is best according to your will for our lives. Lord God, we pray that we may have the patience to wait upon you for your response to our prayers. We pray, O God, that we may have the fortitude when the answer is no, and that we must go a different direction. And Lord, we pray for the joy when you say yes, that our prayers are answered as we've asked and that we are doing according to your will. In all these times, O God, we thank you that you are with us always through your Spirit. Lord, you're not a remote, removed God that does not care about us. You're not contained in an inanimate object which we can put on a table and worship. But Lord, you are Spirit. You are one God in three persons. Holy Trinity, as we sang earlier today. And while we may not fully understand that concept, God, we come in faith to you, praying that you receive our prayers and receive us. And Lord, we pray this day for those who do not know you. We pray that there may be a way for us to introduce others to you. Give us the courage, give us the words and the actions to be about the ministry which Jesus left for his followers to be about. And Lord, in these moments, we lift up to you those who are ill and pray for your healing touch in their lives according to your will. Some are injured. Some are recuperating from surgery. Others are undergoing tests and procedures for future diagnoses. Others, Lord, are in end stage of care in hospice and respite care. Lord, of all those that are struggling with physical, emotional, and spiritual problems, we pray, O God, for your spirit to be with them. They may sense you there. And we pray also, Lord, for those who are in mourning today. You know, we see mass destruction, mass death on the news, but we also know of persons close to us who have passed away. Lord, we lift them all to you, and we pray especially for their survivors, their loved ones, that they too may feel your spirit in these moments of sadness, and for some maybe relief that the battle is over. The victory is won. But Lord, there's still a sadness when anyone passes from our presence. Even with our faith knowing that they're going to you, we still miss them, Lord. We know through Jesus that he understands that because he wept at the grave of Lazarus. Lord, we thank you for this congregation, this community of faith, that has long, deep roots in this community of Malden, but yet always has had and will continue to have an eye beyond the walls of this building, to the street corners of Malden, across this state and around the world, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, your love with others. Lord, we pray that you will empower us and give us the wisdom and the fortitude and the ways and the means to share your love with others, that they too may come to be followers of Christ. We ask all of these things in his most precious and powerful name. Amen. We've worshiped in many different ways this morning already. We have another way of worshiping right now by presenting our tithes and gifts to God as a thank you for all of the ways that God has blessed us and is blessing us today. At this time, the ushers receive the morning offering. Let's pray together. Lord, we offer these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Mark Foxon will be reading the scripture today.
The scripture reading this morning is John 16, verses 5 to 15. And because the Foxon family has been such a vital part of this church and this church has meant so much to us, I am going to read from the family Bible dated 1848. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore saith I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your holy word this morning, these words of Jesus, words of comfort and challenge, words of compassion as he was realizing he did not have many hours left to be with his followers. Lord, we pray that these words may become alive for us today as his followers in this day, that they may have meaning for us, especially the words about the Spirit and what it means for us today. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today on the Christian calendar, the Christian church calendar, is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost. However, the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. Many statements of faith from the early church affirm, I believe in the Trinity. But what does that mean? Now, Baptists are historically non-creedal, that we don't limit our beliefs to one set of beliefs or creeds. But, you know, many people, Baptists included, may say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, but what does that mean? The Trinity is a description of the unique relationship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And those have been reformatted in many different ways. And while the term Trinity is not used in the Bible, there are many references to the concept in Scripture, as today's text in John. Jesus is talking to his disciples, preparing them for his death, telling them that he would be with them only a little time longer, and he refers to the Holy Spirit as well as the Father. And Jesus says, unless I go away, the counselor, depending on what version of your Bible, it might, instead of counselor, it might say comforter, it might say advocate, and it might say some other descriptive title. But Jesus says that unless I go away, the Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Another scripture referring to the Trinity is Mark chapter 1, verse 10. As Jesus was coming up out of the water at his baptism, he saw heaven open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Just two examples of Scripture, where there are many others, where we see references to three different persons in the Godhead. The concept of one God in three persons is not easily grasped. And illustrations have been offered in the past in an attempt to help believers better understand this in a tangible way. And you may have heard these before. One visual example is with an egg. We have the egg shell, the egg yolk, and the egg white. They're three distinct parts, but they're all egg. Another way to try to explain the Trinity is by referring to water. We have a glass of water, an ice cube, and steam. They are different in form, structure, and purpose, but they're all water. And it's said that St. Patrick explained the Trinity with a shamrock. The three parts of the shamrock represented the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But at the same time, they were all shamrock. In today's scripture, Jesus emphasized the importance of the Holy Spirit. To the fearful and worried disciples, he gave them the assurance that he was not going to abandon them. Because he had just said to them, I'm going someplace and you can't come with me. Now, remember, these are men who had dropped everything in their lives and for 3 years had followed him around the countryside, witnessing miracles, hearing astounding teachings. And now all of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm going someplace and you can't come with me. So how fearful and worried they may have been. But in today's text, Jesus is really saying, actually, it's going to be better for you for me to go away. And I can just hear us, I could hear the disciples saying, yeah, sure, sure, right. You're not leaving, you know, we're being left behind. But Jesus is saying, because it's going to be better, because if I go away, then I will send the counselor or comforter or advocate, and he will guide you in all truth. Christ's departure at the ascension, which we observed last Sunday, was absolutely necessary for the Holy Spirit's coming. The disciples had been used to seeing Jesus every single day, and they needed to get weaned away from the physical presence of Jesus. Now that he would ascend into heaven. And as long as Jesus was here on earth, he was limited to one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit's presence can be everywhere at the same time. Many years ago, someone commented about the ancient words of faith known as the Apostles' Creed, saying that it contains 10 articles on the person and work of Christ, but only one on the Holy Spirit. This is also reflected in the thinking of many today about the Holy Spirit. We know that we pray in Jesus' name, we do things in Jesus' name, and discuss him in Bible study and worship. We know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, but we don't speak much about it. But he has a great job to do in the world. To some people, the Holy Spirit seems to be the Cinderella of the Trinity. We relate the Father to the Acts of the Old Testament and the Son as the active one in the New Testament. So where do we put the Holy Spirit? He is the one who's in the world now. He helped inspire the scripture, draws us to salvation, is present in conversion, and is present in the church today. Many sermons, prayers, and songs in today's Christian church have very little mention of the Spirit, though. So I want us to spend a few moments and see if we can get to know the Spirit a little better. The concept of the Holy Spirit was not new at Jesus' time. The Spirit of God was on the scene at the beginning of Genesis. For in Genesis 1, we read, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters at the creation. And a little later in Genesis, we read that at the time of the flood, the Lord said, my Spirit will not contend with man forever. Later in the Bible, still in the Old Testament, though, in Judges, we read, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, so that he then became Israel's judge. In Old Testament times, the Spirit of the Lord came upon certain people to fulfill leadership responsibilities. In today's scripture, and from the New Testament, Jesus was telling the disciples that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was going to be operating in a different way. Not just available to certain people for certain leadership roles once in a while. The Spirit was coming for all people at all times. What a difference in understanding between the Spirit post-Pentecost and the Spirit before that. Jesus said there are a lot of things you don't understand right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, just as Jesus had promised, and he clarified many things. So as we wrestle with this concept of Trinity, some of us may feel that we don't really understand the Holy Spirit, and so we'll just skip that part. Just, you know, forget it, the Trinity, we'll make it a deity, too. We may think that we know about God the Father as the creator of the universe. We know about Jesus the Savior. That's enough. That's all that matters. But the role of the Holy Spirit is of great importance, and we can't leave him out. We shouldn't leave him out. We can, but we shouldn't. One reason is that all three members of the Trinity are involved in our salvation, and that's very important for us today. A woman went into a jewelry store many years ago to have her watch repaired. The owner disappeared in the back and soon returned with the watch running perfectly. Surprised, she asked how he could fix it so quickly. And he told her all it needed was a new battery. And she replied, "Battery? A battery? Nobody told me anything about a battery. I've been winding this every single morning." A lot of Christians do not realize the importance of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, as well as the inner power of the Spirit for us today in order to handle the things of our daily lives. You can think of the Holy Spirit as a battery that never expires, never loses its power. It keeps us going. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to bridge the gap between God the Father and us. Jesus the Son fulfilled the mission to come to earth and die on the cross, paying the price for our sins. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers us to live a Christian life. In Romans we read, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us at just the right time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Here again we have evidence of the Trinity, each fulfilling his own particular role in the process of salvation. Earlier I said the Holy Spirit convicts us by showing us what's wrong with our lives, how we're living outside God's desired plan for us. The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing home the sense of sin to us. We might say, well, when I sin, when I consciously know I've sinned, and I feel guilty, or I feel I shouldn't have done it, this is the work of the Holy Spirit trying to let us know that we need to make some changes in our lives. Some may call it our conscience, but it's also the Spirit working, prodding us. The Spirit can also convince, not only convict, but also convince a person when change is needed. It encourages us to open our hearts and our minds to the will of God. In addition to convicting and convincing, the Holy Spirit offers counseling and companionship. We never have to feel alone again, for we have a book called the Bible. We have our congregation filled with caring people. We may also know other Christians who are believers outside our congregation, and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Spirit gives us the mind of Christ, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And it is the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God active and powerful in our lives. The Holy Spirit reveals that God is faithful, that God is refuge, that God will provide for all of our needs. And we are new creatures because of what God has done in our lives. The students at an entry-level chemistry class filed in for the final exam. The teacher had told them beforehand that they could bring one sheet of paper into the test with as much information as they could on that piece of paper to help them with the exam, a cheat sheet, in other words. Some brought sheets with small writing on it, so tiny, barely perceptible. Others had diagrams and formulae, and others had outlines that had labels for everything. One student walked in with a sheet of paper, and it appeared to have no writing on it at all. As they got ready for the exam and they took their seats, he placed the sheet of paper on the floor beside his desk. He motioned for someone right outside the door to come in. A graduate student walked over to the sheet of paper and placed his 2 feet on the paper to help the freshman with all the answers that he needed. They could bring anything in on the sheet of paper. Anything on the sheet of paper. A graduate student's 2 feet fit on that piece of paper. And he was there to help the student. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is like that graduate student, available to help us with any of life's challenges if our hearts are open to him. Let's pray together. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we pray to you in three entities today as three persons, but yet one God. And we've been focusing more on the Spirit because, unfortunately, the Spirit is less talked about in many congregations, including ours. In Spirit, we pray that you would come to us like that graduate student did for that chemistry student, that you would be beside us to offer all the answers that we need in all the tests we have in life, not just our academic studies, but the challenges that we have, the tests and trials and tribulations we go through throughout life. We pray that you, as Spirit, will be with us. We pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to your leading in our lives, showing us when we make mistakes, drawing us closer to you, so that we may be filled with the Spirit. Lord, we talk about Spirit being in us and moving among us, and we pray, O God, that your Spirit will be doing that right now. We conclude this time of worship as we go our separate ways, because the Spirit is not limited to one place at one time, but the Spirit can go with all of us. And we thank you, Lord, for that presence in our lives. We ask all of these things in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 16, Glory Be to God the Father. from this place in the love of God as you follow in the footsteps of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. May the presence of God be real to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go forth, therefore, in love and hope as you walk with the triune God of glory and strength. Amen.